Welcome to True Crime Sleep Stories, where the mysteries of the past lull you into a world of intrigue and relaxation. I'm your host, Kelly Brink, here to guide you through the shadows of history with a calming touch. Tonight, we'll unravel the chilling tale of Maria Swanenberg, better known as Goy May, a woman who nursed her way into the hearts of many, but left poison in her wake. Settle in, close your eyes, and let the somber story of the pious poisoner take you on a curious yet calming journey. Before we begin, a quick note for my fellow true crime enthusiasts. This September 5th through 7th, I'll be at CrimeCon in Denver, Colorado. You can get 10% off your tickets using my code BRINK, B-R-I-N-K, at checkout. Plus, if you show your receipt at my table, I'll give you a free signed copy of my book. It's all waiting just for you. Now, dim the lights, breathe deeply, and join me as we wander into another dark story to soothe your night. Maria Swanenberg, also known as Maria Goy May Swanenberg, was one of the most notorious serial killers in Dutch history. Though she was officially convicted of murdering 27 people, it is believed that she may have poisoned at least 65 neighbors and possibly over 90 individuals. In the 19th century town of Leiden, Maria Swanenberg was regarded as a compassionate and selfless nurse. She was the person you called upon when you were ill, even if you couldn't afford to pay her. Her reputation as Goy May painted a picture of altruism and kindness. However, the reality was far more sinister. Swanenberg would visit those in need, and while they hoped for care and recovery, their conditions would deteriorate rapidly, often leading to painful deaths. What many did not know was that Maria had taken out life insurance policies on her victims. The very people who trusted her with their lives unknowingly contributed to her financial gain upon their deaths. This chilling aspect of her story intertwines themes of poverty and murder, revealing how desperation can drive individuals to commit horrendous acts. Maria Swanenberg's tale challenges the notion that the most prolific poisoners or serial killers could not be women. Her actions left a dark mark on history, reminding us that appearances can be deceiving and that evil can often hide behind a mask of benevolence. Maria Swanenberg was born on September 9th, 1839 in Leiden, into the bustling household of Clemens Swanenberg and Joanna Dingen. She grew up in humble surroundings. Her family lived in a small workers' cottage that housed 11 family members. The cramped living conditions were rudimentary at best. Her parents slept in a tiny front room, while a small, often outdoor-utilized kitchen occupied the back. The children's sleeping quarters were on the first floor, right under an uninsulated roof that offered little protection from the elements. Nicknamed Goya May, Maria earned a reputation for her kindness, frequently babysitting and caring for the sick and elderly in her neighborhood. Despite her benevolent persona, Maria's upbringing was marred by hardship. With many siblings who succumbed to cholera, her family was no stranger to tragedy. It is likely that Maria received minimal formal education, as evidenced by the X she used to sign her marriage certificate, indicating her inability to write. By the time Maria married Johan van der Linden on May 13, 1968, she was 28 years old and had already given birth to several children. This aspect of her life fueled local gossip, branding her as morally loose, though there was no evidence to support such claims. Her marriage produced 5 sons and 2 daughters and lasted until January 1886. The nature of her relationship with her husband remains unclear due to the loss of trial transcripts in a fire, but there is no concrete reason to assume that there was a lack of affection between them. Shortly after her marriage, two of Maria's children died, raising suspicions of foul play. However, further research suggests that cholera, rather than poisoning, was the likely cause of death. These events, coupled with the ongoing misery from her youth, led Maria to develop a drinking problem. It was during this turbulent period that she began her infamous spree of poisoning. In the late 19th century, the city of Leiden, Netherlands, was shrouded in a veil of death and mystery. Epidemics ravaged the population, children withered away, and adults succumbed to mysterious illnesses. Among this backdrop of pervasive mortality, one name became synonymous with death, and that was Maria Swanenburg. Maria, born into a modest family, appeared to be a pillar of the community. She was known for her willingness to help neighbors, often caring for their children, doing their laundry, and assisting in times of need. However, behind her facade of kindness lay a sinister motive that would eventually unravel, revealing her as one of history's most notorious female serial killers. It all began in 1880. Maria's first taste of murder came with the poisoning of her own mother, Joanna. Not long after, her father, Clemens, became her second victim. The deaths of her parents marked the beginning of a killing spree that would span 3 years, claiming the lives of at least 27 people. Maria's weapon of choice was arsenic, a common substance used for pest control. Its effects, when ingested, were devastating. Severe diarrhea would lead to fatal dehydration, while the poison coursed through the bloodstream, wreaking havoc on vital organs. Victims would suffer agonizing headaches, light sensitivity, and ultimately organ failure. It was a slow and excruciating death made all the more horrifying by its frequency. Initially, Maria's murders were driven by financial gain. She cleverly exploited the insurance system of the times, which allowed anyone to take out policies on another person. This was a common practice among poor families who couldn't afford burial costs. By paying the premium herself, Maria ensured that she would benefit financially from her victims' deaths. In many cases, she managed to get herself included in their wills or took out multiple insurance policies on them. The first policy would cover the funeral expenses, while the subsequent ones provided a financial buffer. This money, meant to support grieving families, ended up in Maria's pockets. Her early murders were calculated and cold-blooded, but as time went on, Maria's actions bordered on compulsive. She began poisoning indiscriminately, driven by an insatiable desire to kill. After murdering two sisters she was babysitting, she even poisoned the coffee she served to their relatives at the wake. Although they survived, it was clear that Maria's bloodlust knew no bounds. Despite the mounting deaths, no alarms were raised. In the impoverished neighborhood where Maria lived, death was an everyday occurrence. Epidemics, poor sanitation, and a lack of medical care meant that illness and fatalities were common. The community, accustomed to loss, saw nothing unusual in the frequent deaths. Doctors, often too expensive for the working class, were rarely consulted. When they were, their visits were sporadic and often unhelpful. It wasn't until the suspicious death of Hendrik Frankhuizen that the truth began to emerge. His death prompted an investigation that would eventually expose Maria Swanenburg's deadly secret. The investigation revealed that Maria had poisoned at least 102 people between the years of 1880 and 1883. Of those, 27 had died, including 16 of her own relatives. The surviving victims, numbering 45, were left with chronic health issues, a grim reminder of Maria's lethal touch. In the quiet streets of 19th century Leiden, the townsfolk whispered about Maria Swanenburg. To many, she was still Goy May, a woman known for her kindness and willingness to help her neighbors. Yet behind her seemingly sweet facade lay a chilling darkness. The illusion shattered one fateful December day in 1883 when the Frankhuysen family fell victim to a mysterious illness. Their symptoms, unrelenting vomiting and excruciating pain, raised more than a few eyebrows. Suspicion grew, and it wasn't long before the authorities turned their gaze towards Maria. When they searched her home, they found insurance policies worth small fortunes, all in her name. The revelation sent shockwaves through the community. As investigators dug deeper, they discovered a trail of deceit and death. Interviews with those who knew her unveiled a pattern that was horrifying in its clarity. Families with whom Maria had been closely involved had suffered inexplicable losses. Exhumed bodies revealed the sinister truth. Traces of arsenic, Maria's lethal weapon of choice, were discovered in dozens of corpses. The numbers were staggering. She had poisoned around 65 individuals, dozens of whom had succumbed to her toxic concoctions. Yet many believed the true count of her victims was far higher. At her trial, which commenced on April 23, 1885, the courtroom buzzed with a mixture of revulsion and morbid curiosity. Maria Swanenberg, the woman once trusted and even loved by her neighbors, was exposed as a cold-blooded murderer. The public's outrage was palpable, their betrayal evident. Articles in newspapers dripped with disdain, though some couldn't help but sensationalize her heinous acts. Her small abode became an infamous landmark, a grim reminder of the evil that had festered within. Even her husband was not spared from the public scrutiny. Initially arrested, he was soon released, portrayed by the media as an unfortunate man ensnared by his wife's madness. Yet doubts lingered. With so many attempted poisonings and deaths in his own family, and with Maria profiting immensely from the insurance claims, questions about his possible complicity persisted. How could he not have known? It was a question that haunted many, including Stefan Glassbergen, a local historian who meticulously chronicled Maria's sordid tale. The community's shock led to swift changes in the law. Regulations around arsenic sales tightened, and there was a fervent call among journalists and intellectuals to reinstate the death penalty, if only for Maria. Instead, she was sentenced to life imprisonment in a correctional facility, where she would remain until her death in 1915, after 20 years behind bars. Yet, that local historian, Glassbergen, saw a deeper narrative woven into Maria's story, a reflection of the brutal social conditions of the time, including disease, poverty, and inequality. Maria's choices were undeniably heinous, but they also prompted a poignant question. In a different time, with better social support systems, would she have walked the same dark path? Glassbergen doubted it, suggesting that the oppressive environment of 19th century Leiden played a significant role in her descent into infamy. Maria Swanenberg's story is a chilling reminder of how desperation and opportunity can merge to create a monster. Her tale, veiled in the mists of a bygone era, continues to captivate and horrify, serving as a dark chapter in the annals of criminal history. Thank you for listening to tonight's True Crime Sleep Story. Good night, sleep tight. Be sure to lock those doors. You never know what's lurking on the other side.